Now, one of those iconic plays from the 2011 World Series, and the starter of that game for the Cardinals, Chris Carpenter, Cardinal Hall of Famer, is with us now in the Fast Lane with fellow Cardinal World Series champ Brad Thompson and Chris Ronge. I'm Randy Carricker, and Chris is with us on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Carp, always good to have you with us. We wish it was regular opening day. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I wish it was regular opening day also.
Man, yeah, no kid, man. How's the family doing? You guys all hunkered down?
Yeah, everybody's hunkered down. Kids are schooling at home, and it's a whole lot of Groundhog Day going on, but that's what it is right now. So hopefully everybody's being safe and doing the things they're supposed to be doing, and hopefully we can get over this quickly.
Carp, what are you in charge of teaching at home?
Nothing.
No.
All right.
They're at their mom's, so they're when they come over here, it's more fun and games. I'm the game part of it, and she's the when they're at her house, she's the teaching part of it.
That seems like a pretty good gig overall, honestly. And you're well suited for it. It's a beautiful thing. Hey, Carp, when you hear the words Cardinal home opener, what is the first thing that comes to mind for you?
There's two things: Clydesdales and the Red Jackets.
Isn't that the coolest thing?
Yeah, just the excitement. I know when I first got over there, the great job that the Cardinals organization did for not just the players but the fans with those Clydesdales, man, running around. And then, like I said, when I first got there, fortunately, I'm a part of them now, but when you first get there, you see these guys that just are legends coming out in the Red Jackets, and just an amazing experience.
I'm actually curious, what is an opening day like in Toronto?
It's a good question. I don't remember. We didn't do a whole lot. Not like that. I know that.
I mean, you were there like 5 years.
Yeah. No, I hear you. It's not that exciting because I would have remembered it, I think.
Okay.
Cardinal Hall of Famer Chris Carpenter with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Do you have a favorite opening day memory, whether you were pitching or not? Is there something that from your playing career that you recall from an opening day here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have like a favorite memory. I think maybe 07, although I'm pretty sure we lost against the Mets, but just coming back and from winning that World Series in 06, opening up at home against the Mets. I remember, I think it was the first year that the jerseys that they made, instead of having regular lettering, the guys or the team that won the World Series the year before had gold striping around the letters. So that was, I would say that was probably my most memorable one, just because of, we were the world champions, so opening up 2007.
And that's interesting because you didn't pitch after that opener. Did you know when you were pitching that day that you were hurt?
I knew there was something going on. I wasn't feeling great, but I just figured it was going to be something that I could work through. And then I remember that day off the next day. I think we had an off day the next day. I woke up and my elbow was swollen to where I could barely bend it. And I was like, well, I guess that's not something I can work through. So I had to go ahead and say something about it.
Carp, I know that Jack Flaherty talked about this in spring training, obviously before everything got halted, when he was named the opening day starter. He talked about just the excitement and the honor that it is. Now, you pitched for a long time, had enormous moments, Cardinal Hall of Famer, one of the best that I've personally ever had a chance to see. But for you, your first opening day nod, and not necessarily home opener, but your first opening day nod, what kind of an honor was that for you?
It was huge. Now, are you talking with the Cardinals? Are you talking because I was
just
able
in general.
To start one with, I was able to start one with Toronto in 2002, and it was actually in Fenway, which is where I got to go when I was a kid watching baseball games. So, and then the Patriots that just won the Super Bowl. I mean, that's probably my overall fondest memory of opening day. Was I remember standing in Fenway Park getting ready to face Pedro Martinez and the Red Sox. Tom Brady, they dropped, who's the guitarist or the lead singer for Aerosmith?
Aerosmith, Steven Tyler.
Oh, yep.
Steven Tyler, he's from up here. So he sang the national anthem. They had the flyover, the the flag fell down over the Green Monster, and the people that were holding the flag down behind the green, behind there were the New England Patriots with the Super Bowl trophy. I mean, the whole thing was just was unbelievable.
As you look back on your career, and we played some great Cardinals moments, you know, because we're missing baseball. We just wanted to hear some highlights that made us feel good. Other than actually winning the World Series, you know, being on the field, winning the World Series, being in the dog pile, what is your favorite moment as a player, or the one that just really sticks out to you?
Well, the first time I went back to Toronto, that start was pretty cool. The memories of watching some of my guys that were on my team just succeed was a lot of fun. I think starting the All-Star game in 05 was pretty cool. And then I guess some of the weird ones was like watching the guys in Old Bush come out on the field and drive around in the outfield in their trucks and ruin the grass before they blew that stadium up. That was a pretty neat memory. So there's some good ones.
Wait, hold on. I don't know about that. What? So they just let you do whatever you wanted in the ballpark before they tore it down?
A couple of guys came out with their trucks and were like doing donuts in the outfield. I don't know if they were supposed to or not, but they were doing it. One other really good one was after we won in Milwaukee, and Mike Matheny went up and decided he was going to slide down Bernie's slide in the stadium in Milwaukee. And he went up and did that. A couple of guys followed him up there during the celebration. And now if you go into the visiting clubhouse, there's a sign that says that Bernie's slide is off limits to all opposing players and people that they're not allowed up there. And that
thanks,
was all
Matheny.
Because of Mike.
Yeah, thanks, Matheny. Yeah,
are
exactly.
You su-
we can't have any fun now because of him.
Are you surprised that he was the guy to go up and go down that slide?
I actually was. I didn't think it would be him. I figured it would be someone like Steve Kline or somebody like that, but it ended up being Mike. And he came up with the idea, and like I said, now it's like you walk in there, there's a sign, and it literally says you're not allowed to go up to Bernie's slide. So.
Yeah, but who's going to stop you?
Yeah, right. I don't know. Bernie, I guess.
Well, maybe.
It's well gated off now, too, and they got barbed wire around it, or at least it was when I did it.
Barbed wire?
Yeah, dude, they don't mess around. You really got to scale around that bad boy to get in it now. Hey, Carp, I mentioned Flaherty earlier. I'll tell you later. You can do it. But I mentioned Flaherty earlier. He was going to be the opening day starter. I mean, you work with these guys. You're close to the team. What is it about? I mean, I see Jack pitch, and I see traits of Waino, and I see traits of you, and even further back. When you watch Jack, what do you see?
Yeah, I mean, I see a very determined player. Now, you know, I mean, to get to that level, you have to be talented, right? Everybody has a talent, but his drive to be great, and trying to pay attention to all the little things around him that can help him become that, is what I see different in Jack than most others. He really pays attention and is not afraid to ask questions, to listen, to learn. And that's what's going to make him continue to grow. And that's the only way you're going to continue to be better is trying to continue to learn. And he isn't afraid. He doesn't think he knows it all. Believes he has a lot of growth to do. And if you continue to do that and continue to believe that, you're going to continue to grow. And that's just going to make him that much better. He's so talented.
Was there an outing of his that you knew he was the real thing?
You know, you could see him grow, and again, you know, you could even see him grow during the first half last year. You know, he had that great second half, but that, you know, you can see how he's going to just continuing to grow. Was there one start where it's like, oh my word? No, I mean, you look at the guy; he's a physical specimen. He's an amazing athlete, so that you know that talent wise is there. I think it was more talking to him, saying, okay, this guy's got it. He's gonna be really good, not just, you know, from a physical standpoint, but from a mental standpoint. And I think that's what made me perk up a little bit.
you know, you being able to bounce back from multiple injuries and surgeries, are you able to, or do you have a way to, you know, communicate with Jordan Hicks and let him know what the process is going to be like and sort of ease him through that?
Yeah, we spent some time together when I was down there in spring and just talked about the ups and downs and not to get frustrated when you don't feel good, because there's going to be days you go out and you feel like you can go out and pitch through this process. And then there's going to be days where, you know, 2 days after you felt that way, you feel like you couldn't, your career's over. So we talked a lot about just the ups and downs of the process, allowing the people around him to make sure that they can help him, that he listens to them, because there's times where you start either doubting yourself or, like I said, you think, okay, I'm ready to go. I'm tired of listening to these guys. And there's a process to it. There's a timetable to it. There's a reason for that. So we spent a lot of time talking about those ups and downs and just continued to work and not go too fast and just follow the program.
You are still such a fierce competitor. How difficult was that for you to listen to the doctors and not say, okay, I'm just going to do this on my own because I know I can get out there and compete?
Yeah, I channel it a different way. And it was something that I learned, you know, fortunately and unfortunately with the injuries that I went through. You know, there's a time, like almost like a grieving period or a woe is me period of disappointment when you get injured. Because, you know, I've said it all along and I've said it to a bunch of different people. When you're hurt, there's nothing you can do to help the team. If you stink and you're not pitching well, at least you can try to fix something or do something better and you have another opportunity to go out and pitch and help your team out. When you're hurt, there's nothing you can do. So there's that little grieving period when you can't be a participant, but you have to get over it and move on and learn something out of it. And what I did was I was able to challenge myself and compete in other ways, and that's mentally and physically. I knew that the process of my arm, the physical arm process, was going to take time. So I used that time between I allowed myself to be sad or upset about it and disappointed about it, and then when it was time to go, it's how am I going to get better in other areas? And that's, you know, working, getting stronger in different areas of my body and getting stronger in different areas of my mind. And that's the way that I went about it.
Carp, another great example of that is what Adam Wainwright was able to do last year. We saw him 2 years ago. He had a start in San Diego. He was throwing as hard as he could, and it was like 83, 84. And Adam has talked about it, and everybody has that watched it. You watch that game, and you feel like, man, that might have been it. That might have been the last game we get to watch him pitch. He bounces back last year. He's healthy the entire time, looks as strong as can be coming into this year. It's impressive, man. It's so hard to play this game for a long time, as you know, and to do it at a high level, and Waino just keeps on rolling.
It's amazing, and you're right. You know, a couple of years ago, you're like, you know, you didn't want to say it, you didn't want to think it, but you're like, dang, man, this guy, it might be over. And to see what he's done, to be able to come back, and again, there was times last year where I had conversations with him where it's like, okay, man, just go out and pitch. Stop trying to prove everybody that you're okay. Everybody sees that you're okay. You know, eliminate that from your mind and just go compete. And he was able to do that all year long. Had a great season. And again, I was in spring training a little bit, and I remember watching him throw his first bullpen session. I remember watching him throw his first live. I remember watching him throw that last start before spring got shut down, and I've never seen I haven't seen him better in the last 4 or 5 years than I did this spring. What that means, I'm not sure, but I haven't seen his stuff that good in a long time. So that was it was real exciting for me.
And Chris, he's maintained that leadership, and I would think, especially because Pat Hentgen was one of your mentors, to have the leadership of this staff start with him in 2000, and you had Kyle and Bennis and yourself and Waino and passed it down to other guys, and now Flaherty looks like he's going to pick up that mantle. The leadership among Cardinals starting pitchers has been in place for, and the core in terms of just the philosophy, has been in place for about 20 years. That's got to be something that you're pretty proud of.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, I spoke to somebody about it in the media this spring training, just about how this organization works. And that's the reason, part of the reason why, you know, we continue to have success and longevity of success. We're consistent each and every year with a chance to win. And that's because of the type of guys that we have in our clubhouse. We continue to to lead. There's guys that continue to lead, teach the guys coming up what it's supposed to look like. And it also is a credit to our minor league coaching staff and the people that run the minor leagues, that where we get guys coming up through AA and AAA that understand our culture, understand our philosophy, and understand what it's supposed to look like. And that's a great credit.
A couple of days ago, BT and I competed against each other drafting. We did a draft of just Cardinals pitchers, and we tried to fill out two different pitching staffs using just guys in the organization. I went with a dark horse. I picked Austin Gomber second overall. Will you tell these guys that I was right to do so?
I know. You've seen great things from Gom. I hope that he lives up to the ability that he has. He's got a long way to grow. He definitely has ability to be great. There's no question about that. Can he stay healthy and can he keep his mind under control is the question. And hopefully we can see some of that this year.
So he's great, but it was a tiny bit of a reach at two. Is that what we're going
just,
with?
Just so you know, Flaherty and Hudson are off the board at the time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, who else is out there?
Well, I picked Kim. I went with Kim.
I went with Carlos.
I actually went with Carlos.
Oh, I did go with Carlos. That's right.
Pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Feel pretty good.
It's amazing. This is the great thing about what you're talking about is you go down there, and I'm fortunate to be able to spend 2 weeks down there and watch these guys. We have so much depth and so much great pitching that it is just, you can't go wrong with any of them.
That's the crazy part, too. And we talked about this in spring when I was down there doing a couple of games before everything got shut down. There are going to be guys that start the season in Memphis that really have no business being there, but there's nowhere for them.
Correct. I mean, there's guys that are going to start in Memphis that, you know, on 20 other teams in this league would be in the starting rotation or in the, you know, get big spot in the bullpen. But that, again, that allows us depth and gives us the advantage, I think, a little bit too.
Finally, Carp, how are you going to do without Tom Brady? You going to be okay?
I'm going to be fine. I'm not a Patriots fan.
Okay. You were hyping him up. You were excited.
Well, that was just the. No, that was just that day in 2002.
All right, good.
I'm actually not. I root for. I got some. My agent represents a lot of NFL head coaches, so I root for the coaches. Like Andy Reid is one of them who I know pretty well, and he was my guy that I was rooting for this year.
What about the Stanley Cup? Because you developed relationships with a lot of Blues guys when you were here, but you had to be a Bruins fan too, right?
Growing up, I was a Bruins fan, but once I developed relationships with those guys, I was a Blues fan all the way. Have been for a long time, and was super excited to watch that. I was texting a friend of mine, Mark Walsh, that lives down in the or works down in the clubhouse with us and lives out there. I found myself, I texted my Miss Hockey. We're both hockey fans, and I'm mm-hmm. sitting here, caught myself the other day watching a. NHL 2K20 whatever video.
You're not alone.
Yeah, or whatever that is. I was like, what a loser. What am I doing? Well,
hey, join the crowd, man. I think everybody is. We have
Blues versus the Capitals or something. I'm like, wow, I'm really reaching.
We have listeners, Carp, that want you to tell your favorite Chris Duncan story.
Oh, man.
You know, keep it clean, ish.
Yeah, no. I guess the funniest one was when he came in and scalped himself.
Wait, I think, what?
Brad, do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember it.
Wait, what did he do?
He had a head wound. I mean, it happens.
He had a head wound. He said he was running down the stairs in his apartment for some reason, and hit his head like on the on the lip of the stairs. I mean, and it's no joke, man. He came and he ended up with stitches and stuff. I mean, he skinned back half of his head.
What?
Like, it's unbelievable.
You hear the term, like, peeled back your wig. It literally peeled back his wig.
It was unreal. And only Dunk, you're like, man, only Dunk could do something like that. He came in, like, didn't want to tell anybody. He was playing it off. I mean, and it was nasty.
It's terrible.
And then in classic God. Dunk style, he's sitting there on the training table going, oh!
Yeah. Man, he could make you laugh, couldn't he? Gosh. What a dude. He could make you laugh every single day, but something come out of his mouth that make you bolt and roll over in laughter.
He was a beauty. Hey, Chris, one last thing before we let you go. In your last press conference here, when you weren't going to play anymore, you said, I'm not using the word retire. Have you ever been able to come to grips with that?
Oh, yeah. I think I've used the word retire since then. I think it was just an emotional day for me. Yeah, I mean, it's you still miss it. You miss playing, you miss competing, you miss the guys. But, you know, eventually you have to be realistic and accept that you can only go for so long. And in our sport, unfortunately, we're not usually, most of us don't stop when we want to. It gets taken from us because of either inability to continue to perform or physical problems. And it is what it is, man. I enjoyed everything that I did and was blessed to have a great career and play with great guys like Brad and Chris and meet a lot of great people and play for a great organization and win a lot of games. So it was awesome.
Well, Carp, we enjoyed every bit of it, too, and it was an absolute honor to be your teammate. And we appreciate you being with us today. I can't wait to actually get a chance to see you in person once this season starts and the world is normal again. But wishing the best to you, your entire family, and everybody out there, man. Thank you for being with us today.
Appreciate it. You guys be safe, and I can't wait to see you guys, too.
All right. Thanks, Carp. That is Cardinal Hall of Famer Chris Carpenter in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Coming up, get your texts in to the Air Comfort Service text line 65780, the Sports Six Pack on 101 ESPN.